Looking at the show like they look at a promo for Big Brother. I mean, it's exciting, it's fresh, and when the big night comes and people actually have a closer look and they look at the detail and they get a better understanding of what the show's actually about, they actually realise it's a load of crap.
Labor's campaign T-shirts mirror the latest poll results. It's Kevin in 07. The government's far from impressed.
Oh, if people are looking at Kevin Rudd the way they look at Big Brother. In that, why am I saying that?
Big Brother's rubbish.
Yes, Big Brother is rubbish.
You know, people quite like Big Brother, don't they?
Yeah, but just say it's crap. Because that doesn't sound like Kevin Rudd's crap.
Yes, Kevin Rudd is crap.
Mr. Link from the chain, I think.
Just say he's crap.
Yes, he's crap.
Well, Exhibit A, desperation. Peter Dutton.
In news poll, Labor's vote even increased, back to a 12-point lead. John Howard refuses to let the fog of despair get to him.
No, well, I'm not letting the fog of despair get me down.
That's all very well, but we simply wanted to know the title of your favourite song by Smash Mouth.
In Parliament, another rabbit out of the hat.
Ta-da! Oh, look at it.
What?
It's going for the bit of lettuce.
It's not a rabbit.
Remember for Melbourne, it's underwater.
Rabbit is irrelevant. What I'm saying to you is we've got a streamline. I don't know, Queensland.
Queensland,
I'm suggesting a government based in Ripley's, believe it or not,
what?
I for the goal.
That's ridiculous, mate.
The ball Ripley's centric system oh. will be more effective and surprising.
Though Kevin Rudd is against the imposed streamlining, Peter Beattie is meeting fierce opposition.
I just say to the people in Sydney and Melbourne,
Adelaide, say what you want, Peter, you're all
Hobart, why should you be paying for some political trickery by the Prime Minister?
Look, there's no trickery here, Peter. That's what you have to understand. And tell me, is this your watch?
In the party room, the Prime Minister gave his troops a pep talk.
The bigger bus is driving, everybody's riding, North Europe beater in the red dragon side, everybody.
But cracks are beginning to appear. Tasmanian Liberal Senator Stephen Parry criticised the Devonport Hospital takeover in front of journalists and a Labor staffer.
Ridiculous. Hospitals should be and the whole thing should be it's obvious.
Is the Minister aware that government members like Senator Parry are describing the intervention into the hospital as a and claiming mercy should have been?
No, I'm not going to take you by that with a response except to say it's a bunch of carbon that everybody's running
from North York.
Picking up my game of three card Monty. It's very difficult to manoeuvre between studios.
I feel like a littlest hobo.
Yeah.
Remember that show?
Oh, yeah, I do.
You would love that song.
You had a great song.
Until tomorrow, I just keep moving on.
Maybe tomorrow. Yes, it's your topical friend here at Triple M. Get this. We're talking about the Kevin 07 campaign, the competition based on rhyming, basically. They've got to come up with someone in the government who's got a name that rhymes with something good. Not many. Arch Beavis. Does that rhyme with anything? Which side is Arch Beavis on? I can never remember.
He's Labour, isn't he?
I just know we get a lot of calls about his name. Gee, it says here one of our listeners, I can't even attempt that name. It's got more consonants in it than there actually are. But he says, we've been driving past Arch Beavis' electoral office for years and we always burst into laughter. Decided to take a picture of the big sign out the front the other day just to put up at work so that we could continue laughing in the office.
Good.
Big mistake. AFP officers turned up at our work wanting to know why we'd been photographing the electoral office of Arch Beavis. When we tried to explain to him that we just like his name and think it's funny, they weren't too impressed.
But they placated them with a game of guess or guess who.
Thank you very much, Shailen Nakis, number the guy from the Carpenter.
Oh.
Unquote. I think that's his name. Do you think that's a real name?
Yeah.
I noticed Alexander Downer has weighed in on the Kevin 07 campaign.
Is he for it?
No, he says Kevin 07 is all style over substance. He labels the website and the T-shirt as a new American style stuff. It's just copying the Americans, Mr. Downer.
What's wrong with
that? They're just copying the Americans. That's all they're... Oh, hang on. Yes, Mr. Bush. Yes, where would you like to send some troops? Sure. Whatever you're having, they'll be fine. Yeah, same as you. He's just copying the Americans.
Last week, Kevin Rudd had the cattle prod on standby at 7:30.
Got
Q by half. Well, very much the same thing when you put on the Kevin Rudd T-shirt. Lots of static electricity. Right. It really hurts. Very dangerous. Got to be careful with your electioneering.
It's looking very topical, though, Rich. Put it on again. I enjoy that. He's got a second one in the breach.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Rich. It's tough when we switch studios.
It is, isn't it?
I have everything on standby now. Speaking of topical and up-to-date, the Sheffield Shield. What's it called now? The Pura
Cup.
No, not good enough. We want it back how it was.
I mean, I understand changing it from Sheffield to Pura, get some sponsorship. Mm. But why did the Shield have to change to a cup?
Yeah,
people like Shield. Nothing better than getting presented with a shield. I think if you win in Las Vegas, I went to the Excalibur show. Mm. What an amazing,
fantastic.
Look, I think most of the fighting was real, Richard. I mean, the Prince of Austria, he was having a real crack at the Prince of Bavaria the night I was there.
So it was like the cable guy.
Absolutely right.
Mm. Red night going down.
Oh, red night went down.
People like a shield. We had the Rand Furley Shield in New Zealand, which
what's
was
that
for rugby players.
How did you know that?
Just because it's got a shield in it. I note down anything with a shield.
Really?
At school, we used to get the school banking shield.
The banking shield.
Whichever class put the most 1 or 2 cent pieces into their account this week got the wooden banking shield and was the MB of
wooden.
Are they a wooden shield? Tiny brass shields all over it. Ooh. Saying who won the shield last time.
Pretty good.
So many shields.
So many shields.
People love the Sheffield Shield. Yeah. You're right behind our campaign. And what they do enjoy is your readings from
The autobiography of Timmy Dura, Australia's second best wicketkeeper for years. The gloves are off now for the facts.
Oh, can we have another reading?
Let's hear some right now. The English tabloid, renowned for the biggest beat-up stories in the world, telling the Australian players misbehaved throughout the tour and accused us of insulting air hostesses, throwing bats. But I did throw the ball down in disgust at Shenta Sharma. We never urinated in a swimming pool and manhandled a district commissioner. Alrighty, Holmes. Can't play cricket and can't tell the truth.
Oh, wow.
That's fake. Timmy Dura.
All it reads from the gloves are off now for the facts in coming weeks. But what sizzle can we offer next? Mr. Marvin, what are you sitting on?
Oh, fashion news.
Fashion news.
Yes.
Nobody knows more about fashionable clothing
clearly
than radio announcers on the FM band.
Wow.
Let's get dressed up next on Get This. Get This with Counting the Beat on Triple M around the nation. That's right. I said Get This. They're calling it Boghenge.
Are they not?
Who insists on that? Nonsensical. Got an email here from one of our listeners, Paul Morrison. There's a sensible name. He's driving around in a Nissan Navara listening to this show. That's our sponsor.
Good on you, Paul.
Huge pulling power, rugged good looks, 4 beverage holders, insane amount of storage space, allowing you to attack the weekend as you might attack the workday.
Yeah.
Listen to this. He drives around listening to the show. He wants to get right behind the Warwick camper running for Mirror of the Gold Coast campaign.
How so?
He's keen to see the porno tape.
Well, that's something else there, Paul.
He wants to get along to the DJing gig.
Okay, yeah, no, this is good.
Yes, where the music is, quote, heavy, loud, but not too homosexual. Mm-hmm. And he says, what about, here's another campaign for you guys to get behind up here in Queensland. Former Queensland Sheffield Shield player, Greg Rowell.
Greg Rowell.
Is the Labor candidate for Mayor of Brisbane.
Yeah.
If he put on 50 kilos, he'd be pretty close to a Mayor Quimby lookalike, this Paul.
Good stuff.
Behind the wheel of the Navara.
All right, we're
one of his 4 beverage holders.
So we're behind the rail tilt for Mayor of Queensland, are we?
I don't know, because I'm a big supporter of Ed Harris, the current Mayor of Brisbane.
Well, the motto, go the rail.
That's not bad.
Yep. I like that. Go the rail.
Okay. You catch on.
I can see why he got sacked from the Liberal Party, Rich.
And Arch Beavis is, of course, on the Labor side of the house. We know what we're talking about. A lot of people calling in about Warwick Capper's appearance in the film Fortress.
Oh, yes.
Daniel Vine says, get out Fortress on, well, I'm assuming only VHS. Is it?
Yeah.
It made the leap to DVD.
Oh, I haven't seen it. No.
Get our researchers onto that.
There's plenty of copies of Keira Knightley as, what's her name, from
Pride and Prejudice.
Pride and Prejudice, if you're looking for it.
Well, you're right. Yeah, it does very good, Watson.
So equine.
11 minutes and 27 seconds into Fortress with Christopher Lambert, Warwick Capper appears wearing a blue jumpsuit, prison overalls, clutching a bedroll. He looks on in horror as a man's intestines explode in front of him. The only good thing about his 2 to 3 second appearance would be his long blonde locks.
Oh, my long blonde locks.
There you go. Okay, important issues covered. What about fashion? You
say bedroll.
How about fashion? I was just wondering what you said there.
My bedroll.
Your bedroll, yeah. Okay, good. Bed bench. transportable version. I got an email from a listener. This is great. And this was a couple of months ago. I can't believe we missed this, but Dr. Martin Shoes.
Yes.
Dr. Martin Shoes, very famous. Mm. They've actually sacked their advertising company, Saatchi & Saatchi, because they used a... They had an ad campaign featuring dead rock stars. Did you hear about that?
No.
So they had, like, a vision of heaven with clouds and what have you, and angels in the background. And they used Joey Ramone from the Ramones, Joey Strummer from the Clash, Sid Vicious from the Sex Pistols, and Kurt Cobain all wearing Dr. Martin's boots. And I'm not sure, I mean, it's not exactly the most tasteful of that campaign.
No.
I'm not exactly sure what the angle was on it. I'm thinking maybe it's something like, you know, you wear Dr. Martin's, they're heavenly boots.
Yeah, sure.
And they've still got an element of rock and roll. And also factually wrong, apparently, because, well, Joey Ramone's brother said that Joey was actually Jewish.
Right.
So, quote, putting him in heaven isn't exactly kosher. That's what he said, Kurt. Also factually wrong, because Kurt Cobain wouldn't be in heaven because he was the one who introduced Courtney Love to the world.
Bang!
That is true. It's factually wrong. That's really? Why Saatchi & Saatchi were given a heave-ho.
Saatchi
& Saatchi. Saatchi some coins.
Yeah, absolutely. John English wasn't very happy that he was at that ad, because, of course, he's not dead. But
got in there.
I don't know why they put him in there.
Yeah.
Reaching for coins, are you, Rich?
Mm-hmm.
Give yourself some.
Change for a dollar in the middle of the week.
Things are right. Bad.
People say, can we play What Would Greg Fleet Do?
No.
Well, Greg Fleet isn't here. Mm-hmm. This poor Clifford, he's finding it increasingly difficult to, attract women.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He saw Greg Fleet recently on the Great Comedy Debate, which was on Sunday night, Channel 10, doing a stunning rendition of a Pogue song with sock puppets. I want his advice.
How did that relate to the topic of the debate exactly?
What I heard, it had nothing to do with the topic of the debate. As per usual.
Yeah, good on you, Fleety.
He wants to know whether he can impress women with sock puppets. Is that too creepy?
Yes!
Please help me, Obi-Wan Kafleety.
You're my only hope.
Dear, oh dear.
I reckon the Star Wars puns are your first port of call.
Yeah.
Get rid of them. Get the socks off. I don't know how sock puppets are going to work.
I've got socks on my head and I'm doing Star Wars puns.
Hey,
lady.
Black lady, back.
Well, I don't know what Greg Fleet would do. He'd probably mention an obscure author and then run off to the toilet for no apparent reason. All right, the listeners have plenty of suggestions for us today. And what is our big topic du jour? Something I think you've come up with here.
No, these are both Richard's phone topics today.
Oh, two Marsden special.
Yeah, what do you got for us, Rich?
Discontinued feuds.
Feuds or feuds? Well, discontinued feuds. I've always had a few feuds.
What? Crimean War. We're going to sort it out.
Food stuff.
Discontinued food.
Sounds like cavalry, but it's not.
Yeah.
Think about what's been discontinued that you want back. That'll be next. Around the nation on Triple M, powered by that 4x4, that rugged-looking 4x4, the Nissan Navara, and podcasts. Yes, we've got them. 113 is up on the grid now. TripleM.com.au/get this. Go to the podcast department.
Who's in it, Tony?
Well, there's a photo. There's a very fine photo. I'm not sure if it's been moved yet. On the podcast page, you go there. Huge photo of Richard Marsden.
Wait a second, I don't remember that.
And then you're just peeking in from the side.
Oh, yeah. Whoa.
He said, why are you on his way onto the podcast?
Well, that was you guys rolling up late to the photo shoot. I was there on time.
I'm keen, I'm hungry.
So I said it was in Adelaide.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't.
And I passed myself off as you.
Yeah.
There are so many treats in store, not just at the Get This page, but the whole damn Triple M arrangement on the internet.
Mm.
So many things going on, so many bells, so many whistles. Check them out. What about iTunes? They've also got Podcast 113. What's in there? Well, Too Cute by Half. Oh, if you'd like to hear Kevin Rudd being electrocuted several times in a row, 113 is the podcast for you. Borgus, full disturbing detail.
Yes. Or entries have started coming in.
Mm.
Yes, I'll talk about them later.
We'll get to them. What about, the latest on my feud? What have you seen is in there? Kappa's Caboodle. That's full graphic details of the new Warwick Kappa work of cinema.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, Italian politicians on the job. There's plenty in there. It's actually our longest podcast yet.
Good time.
113. But, you know, we mentioned Kevin Rudd, and people are suggesting that John Howard is having his ass kicked by the Kevin 07 T-shirt.
That is the view of some people. I reject that totally.
Yeah, what do you think, Ed? Big trouble.
Yeah, he's in big trouble. Now, I've instructed him to change his name to John Johanna.
What?
Yeah, no. It's something that we've been working on.
Really?
I've got some lyrics here.
Oh, you're going to do his new campaign song?
This is a new campaign song. John Howard is finished, much like Puff Daddy. P. Diddy is here. John Howard as John Johanna. Here are the lyrics. Richard, hit me with some guitar. Oh.
On Triple M, let's keep the hard rock going as we climb Talkback Mountain. Discontinued foods. That's Mr. Marvelous' topic for today.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about, Rich? What have you got over there? That's not a food stuff.
It's not a food stuff, but it is a discontinued cinema, as a matter of fact, in my hometown of Adelaide.
Oh, yes.
Legendary cinema, the Wallace Academy in Hindmarsh Square.
Mm.
Saw E.T. there for the first time when I was a kid.
Oh.
Cried all the way to the car park. Saw Pulp Fiction on the first day that it opened.
Right, all the way to the car park.
Right. So it's very sad. It's being turned into townhouses, surprisingly, and inner-city living.
Mm.
But 31 years it's been open. First film, The Eagle Has Landed, with Michael Caine.
Oh, yes.
The world premiere of Breaker Morant and Shine was held there.
That is pretty good history.
Final film, Die Hard 4.0.
Do you get any...
No, that was actually my first date. I saw Terminator 2 there with a girl called Marta.
How'd you go?
It was in 1998.
How'd you go?
No, not well at all.
Really?
No, I had to walk into the train station. Anyway, that's just on point.
So walking into the train station, getting no action going.
How did they do that? Like, shiny bloke.
I don't know.
That melting shiny bloke.
I don't know.
That's new?
Okay, yes it is. I don't know. It's late. Does anyone care about
it? Well, there's a photo of Ann Wills.
Oh, Ann Wills, of course, winner of the Logie for Most Regional Personality, 75 years running.
Yes.
And formerly Mr. Martin Wood's sidekicker to Ann Wills on the mystifyingly titled AM Adelaide. Is that how you describe it on your new biography on the website?
That's right.
If you want to know the Richard Martin story.
Yeah, the new bio, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good page.
Mm. So there's Ann. From the in the advertiser there.
Right,
so they would have had, they'd be discontinuing cinema snacks.
Yeah, so that's discontinued food.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm.
What about your toppy popcorn?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't serve that anymore. Remember that? It used to come in a solid block, and they give you a chisel to try and eat it.
I used to like the ice creams you get at the cinema where if you held it up and looked across it, the actual curve of the ice cream bit was almost indetectable. You know, there was just a tiny bit of chocolate and ice cream sticking up over the top of the cone. That's how little there was in there.
Yeah, it was a jib, wasn't it?
Yeah. But they can't get away with that anymore.
No,
not with the internet. They can't get away with anything thanks to this damn internet. All right. Discontinued food is not just it's cinema.
Can I chime in here?
Yeah.
You know bounty bars?
Yeah.
Full of coconut goodness.
Mm.
Do you remember tropical bounty bars?
No.
Well, the good fellows at Bounty went back into the jungle and dredged out all sorts of papaya, rock melon, melon stuffs and little berries, and they mashed them all up and brought out a yellow insided bounty bar.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Mm.
Something about yellow rice is just a little off-putting.
Rice? It's coconut, man.
Sorry.
You put rice in a bounty bar?
You know.
Man, did your mum send you off to school with bounty bars? Just rice wrapped in bark.
So a home brand counts.
Delicious.
What about a tiny box of self-hardened? You can still get that, I'm hoping.
Yeah. If you want them.
If you want it to be beaten up, that's what you need in one of the segments of your lunchbox. But no, I think the discontinued food we get the most emails about here is the KFC Works Burger.
The Tower Burger.
Was an update. About 8 Works Burgers on top of each other.
It went
chicken.
Okay.
Mayonnaise.
You're going to do it later.
Hang on. Just let me get to the end. Chicken. I'll start again. Chicken, lettuce, mayonnaise, inner city apartments, cheese,
rice,
hash brown, bark. Box of sultanas,
gymnasiums,
roof garden,
home cinema,
John Gielgud
in the nutty, no
reason.
And now, gone
a burger.
Gone from our shores, but alive and well in Europe. Alan Milinkovic says, "G'day guys, just been to Europe, got myself a tower burger in London, Paris and Barcelona." What a trip. So anyway.
London, Paris and Barcelona.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
They should have that, you know, like for fashion, you know, they have like DKNY, New York, Paris, Rome. They should have that for the tower burger.
Wow.
Hey, anyone?
Okay. I don't seem to remember we heavily flagged a fashion segment.
Oh, yeah, what happened
earlier in this episode?
Did you just Doc Martens?
It just went, no, we can't after that.
It's been all about fashion today with the new Rudd shirts and what have you. We had a call from Jamie as well on saying the Pop Rocks. You can't get Pop Rocks.
You know why?
Because Mentos and Diet Coke have stolen their thunder?
No. They're exploding thunder? No, because unfortunately the young fellow that advertised him in America.
No, that's an urban
choked on them.
No, isn't it true? That's an urban myth.
How do you know?
I've heard that one. No, he had the Pop Rocks and then he drank a can of Coke or something.
Yeah, and he exploded. Yeah, his head exploded.
Yeah.
I've seen it on YouTube.
The guy from the Listerine ad, his cheeks just inflated to the size of a giant balloon.
I know that guy. He's
never seen again.
A lot of surgery to get that fixed.
Everything that happens in an ad can happen in real life.
That's true.
All right, this is nonsensical.
I've got one, the Monaco bar.
Oh, man.
Where's the Monaco bar gone?
It's in the Monaco bar.
It was ice cream within two chocolate biscuits. So I've got sensitive teeth, so it was a great way to eat ice cream.
He's got sensitive teeth.
Oh, you poor old
friend. You'll often just see them listening to an In Your album on their own in our office.
Let me ask you this, Richard. How do you eat a Monaco bar?
Well, you just in big chunks.
No. You grab it and you sort of lick the perimeter.
No.
Okay. Creating a sort of a biscuit balcony.
Yeah.
You can then get your tongue underneath and chew out from underneath itself.
Yeah, but they're saying the Maxibon now is taking the Monaco bar place. But yeah. I can't take the Maxibon.
It's all bells and whistles, the Maxibon.
Keep the Monaco bar wanting more. That's what you've got to do.
What a great topic.
I think if you write the alphabet with your tongue, it likes that.
It does. Sorry, spell it.
You know the Monaco bar.
Yeah,
call us with your favourite discontinued food stuff, the one you really miss. Don't say Works Burger. Don't say Tower Burger.
No.
That Works Burger shouldn't have even been brought into this conversation. Call us now. 133353.
Triple M.
What would make it more beautiful? Perhaps the return of a favourite old discontinued food stuff. Who's got one here?
Hi, Loretta.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. How are you?
Very well.
What would you like to see?
Well, my favourite would be that I would love to get back is the cappuccino flavoured gate wine. I wasn't aware of that.
It's all caramel based.
And that's maybe why I like it more.
Maybe.
Because I eat a crunchy just to enjoy the honeycomb instead of the chocolate.
Ooh.
Now, you've just had your cappuccino-flavoured go time. What are you chasing it down with, Loretta?
Would that be a three-bean salad from KFC?
You only the three bean salad can?
No, to be quite honest, my auntie and I were talking about it on Monday. She was a lover of this, and we went to KFC and we got coleslaw, but she was still wishing that she could order the three bean salad.
Coleslaw. I love how they're still holding on to it.
Coleslaw is just a support act for the three bean salad.
This is correct.
So we want back the KFC. We want the return of the Tower Burger,
the
three bean salad, and the Gus and Dave ads on the TV.
Blatantly homosexual. Thank you, Loretta. Hello, Steve.
Hello, how are you doing?
Excellent, sir. What needs to come back?
Look, another one of the victims of evil rationalisation of street ice cream.
Yep.
It was the triple treat.
I do remember them.
Oh, good. Okay, it was chocolate on the outside. Two layers of ice cream, pretty good ice cream too, and in the middle there was a big pink marshmallow. An absolute ripper, and it's gone.
Now, I do remember this, Steve, and I remember it being in the shape of a, sort of in the vein of a Monaco bar, kind of like
a bit like your Monaco bar, and you're right, the, what's the other one? The Maxibon, it's no Monaco bar.
You're absolutely right.
exactly.
So, Steve, you just spend all your time trying to stuff marshmallows into maxi bombs and crying?
No, look, it's, but I have been known to sort of drop in at little corner shops that probably don't sell a lot to check if there's any triple treats.
Well, under the counter.
One other quick thing.
No worries, brother. I
was driving up from Aubrey on the Hume last night and stopped at this dog in the Tucker Box. It's not a good dog, it's just a series of fast food shops. And AFC had a new burger there, the one bite and spit it out onto the Hume.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a new.
It was pure evil and probably 5 days old, but. Congratulations to the people of
Marillion.
They did a good one.
Well, there you go. I don't think Gus and Dave can be held responsible for
absolutely
that.
Absolutely not.
The triple treat. I hope that didn't disappear because, you know, Cadbury's purple style Triple M decided to claim ownership of the word triple.
Maybe.
The triple treat. It was 8 years ago. It was in Melbourne. It was called the Eon Treat. Sorry. That's
really?
The Victoria only joke.
Oh, radio joke. Anyone? Hello there, Troy. How are you? Troy?
Chantal.
Oh, Chantal, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Sorry for calling you Troy. Just a nickname I have for you.
Name you after an Orlando Bloom movie.
Lovely.
What has passed us by, Chantal?
The Bertie Beetle. You can only buy in the show bags now.
Absolutely right. Obviously, the Bertie Beetle is Chantal. What is the subject of that? You're right, so Chantal, which part of the country are you in?
Melbourne.
Is it the Ecker in Brisbane, which is about to start? Well, maybe it started a couple of days ago.
Still birdies in the show?
Still birdies. So if you know someone in Brisbane, Chantal, they could you know, bust you up some. So where are the showbag people getting their supply of birdie from? I mean, is there just a big birdie warehouse? But not showbag only.
Secret backyard laboratories.
I think it might be.
A lot of people, when they get busted for making ice, they go over to Birdie Beetles.
Yeah, they find a big bucket of birdies.
Away they go.
A whole lot of cocaine on the top. And you remove that.
Birdie Beetles.
All birdies underneath.
Hello, Troy.
Hey, how you doing?
Excellent, sir. What are we missing out on?
Well, I'll tell you in a sec, but there's some good news. Birdie Beetles are actually now owned by Nestle Wonka, and you can get them at Woolworths and that sort of thing.
Hey,
Nestle Wonka.
Thanks very much.
Troy and Chantal never hooked up, as we all know.
Oh, hey, you know.
I'm not even sure if Orlando Bloom was in Troy. I've got a terrible feeling.
Hey, he's been in me, man.
He makes so little impression on me. Mm-hmm. I can never tell if he's been in a film or not.
Yeah, he's like a light miss.
I wish he'd become a discontinued actor.
Absolutely right. Troy, enough of Tony's bizarre obsession with Orlando Bloom. What are we missing out on?
Well, when I was a wee tacker, I remember Smurf post blocks. I'm talking about the late 70s, early
80s. Yeah, tell me something.
Well, I think they might have a bit of white.
Can you answer, were they in the shape or a sort of vague smooth shape?
No, I think they were just regular old blocks.
Oh, regular blocks? I don't remember this.
Was there any jelly infused in there?
I believe there may have been. It's a little vague because, I mean, I was only like about 3 or 4, but they were brilliant.
You know, I think their noses were jelly.
Yeah, keep in mind, Ed was one so when they came out. When they were discontinued.
Yeah, true.
Still can remember them.
Thank you, Troy.
Well, I don't know if they've been discontinued all around the world, because in Germany, the Smurfs are known as Mr. Marsland.
Oh, I don't know.
The Schlumps.
The Schlumps.
They are Schlumps.
That sounds like so much fun.
No.
And in France, the Care Bears are known as the Calinours.
Well, we're learning today. Thank you to everyone who contributed. We could have said a lot more. I can see quite a list of discontinued facts on the line there. Thanks to everyone who took part in the next hour. Oh, look, author. Broadcaster, author of a very fine novel called Players. You don't often hear me recommending something that's about football.
No.
Give that a read and meet the author next, Tony Wilson.
Old and simple and dishonest and out of touch.
Due to a lack of popular demand, we decided to discontinue corn.
He apologised for any inconvenience.
Yeah, for the corn.
I wrote them a letter.
Yeah, that was inconvenient. And what other discontinued ones are you ropeable about?
Buffalo Bill. I think it would go very well as an ice cream in this era of Deadwood. You turn up to buy borrow your Deadwood DVDs.
Mm. So just sell on the Buffalo Bill for work.
Do you remember
the last thing that they did at Buffalo Bill to try and win people back?
Change of bubblegum flavour,
and they printed on the nose, go for your gum. Mm. That was the big thing. Didn't work.
When you get Hubba Bubba.
You have to buy one to open the wrapper to see it.
To get Hubba Bubba at the supermarket, it's fun to remove the price, so they're forced to go Hubba Bubba. Just into the microphone.
Oh, right. Nice check.
The great thing to do at the supermarket is find the wackiest name stuff and make them say it to the microphone.
That's not a bad idea. The phone topic for tomorrow, mate.
Fantastic. Too many good ideas. So many Kevin O'Seven style concerts here and get this around the nation. Do you want to talk rubbish with some idiots for an hour, Mr. Wilson?
I sure would.
Let's do that. Lonely. Lonely. That's your divinals here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. It's the second hour, and he's here again. He's a broadcaster. He's an author. The novel Players, a new book for the younger reader, Harry Highpants. You might remember him years ago on Race Around the World. It's Tony Wilson.
I eschewed that advice. They did tell you, don't sizzle too early or else it's trouble.
It's just high pants mania will just peak before it's in the show.
Well, as you bring it up, basically high pants were right out. I wrote this book, but now high pants are back for something.
It's very good.
Misha Barton. She wore very high pants.
High pants. Yeah, right.
She wears a lot of pants. What does she actually do?
She swans.
Is she in a show once?
Yeah.
She was the OC, wasn't she, at one point?
I think she has haircuts now, professionally.
Hey, remember you were sizzling and in fact ended up delivering that rubber duck story.
Oh, yeah.
The ducks had spilled out of a container in the middle of the ocean and floated around the ocean and then they were arriving. They were just arriving at different ports over the years, and it was a big event in Australia when the rubber ducks arrived.
Yeah.
Well, I was screaming at the podcast as you were saying, there's a children's book, because a guy called Eric Carle, you'd know him, wrote the Very Hungry Caterpillar. He has released a book that is about the ducks. He puts that news story at the front of the book, and then the ducks floating around the world and meeting up with real ducks.
Because
being adopted by a mother duck.
Because I had it as a buddy film for Rob Schneider and Adam Sandler. And they passed. So maybe I should have gone for a children's book.
Yeah, and the reason I bring this up, because it all comes back to the great art of self-promotion, but
brilliant.
My book, Harry Highpants, I wrote this before this news story broke, but a guy over in America by the name of Derek Shepherd, who's a Republican senator, he tried to introduce a law, which was a pants law, basically, that if you raised your pants too high, or if you... Right, no, basically it was after low pants.
But
if you exposed G-strings or boxer shorts or whatever, then you could be fined $500 or even face 6 months jail. The law was voted out. But my main character, other than Harry Highpants, is Roy Bland, who comes to town and tries to get a pants law up.
Look at this.
So basically, pants freedom is the moral of the story. And the idea that a real life event is mirrored in my children's book. I'm following on from Eric Carle.
No, that's beautiful. And you say you're screaming at our podcast, which, you know, a lot of people like to do. Someone who was screaming at our show in the last hour is Chris at Chris's shop in Brisbane, where you can still buy Bubble O' Bill, Monaco bars, Pop Rocks, and Hubba Bubba. Well, we never suggested Hubba Bubba was off the shelves.
Yeah. You notice that Monaco bars were always Monaco with a long A, but when they talk about the Monaco Grand Prix, it's Monaco.
Yeah.
And I've always wondered, is there any correlation between the Monaco bar and Monaco?
Yeah.
Is it a tie-in?
It's one of those words like Alan Bro. Shouldn't it be bro?
It's not bro.
Like Rob Bro. Shouldn't it be brew, like the word through? Shouldn't it be brow, like the word bow, B-O-U-G-H? See what I mean?
I know for Alan Bro, I read the news on a community radio station.
Yes.
Alan Bro did me in, because when I got to Mal Bro, I did bro for a few days. People called in. And actually, I was just shaken during your own news here when I heard it was Dupas, the guy who's accused of
Mr. Melbourne
murders.
Yes.
And I've been saying Dupas.
Thanks for being yourself to say it. I'm feeling quite ill.
No, but hang on. You mentioned you're a newsreader on community radio. You are on the community radio, Tony. One thing we have to congratulate you on is great phone topics.
Yeah, you guys are great.
You come up with great ones on your show. What was that movie montage one you did?
Yeah, Sam Payne came up with this one. Movie montages, favourite movie montages. You got one?
No, I was just sorry, that's my...
I thought he was in a tweet. I think 10 things I hate about you.
Yeah.
I had a hateful montage, you know, that I like. Dumb and Dumber, a terrific playing in the snow montage that
Clever Lane punching people's heads in at the start of Rocky 3 set to either side.
Rocky 4 is the superior montage in the Rocky franchise where you've got, I think, the natural, au naturel Rocky in the snow leaping cars and chopping wood and so forth versus Drago.
Ivan Drago. Any movie, no matter how disturbing, can be enlivened with a shopping montage. I remember Julia Roberts in Sleeping with the Enemy.
Oh, yes.
Simply because Pretty Woman had been such a big hit just before, they've gone, well, she's got to have a shopping montage, and this is when she's hiding from a serial killer in a small town. She can go shopping, though, can't she? Because she's trying on clothes to brown-eyed girl while fleeing from her stalking serial killer husband.
The idea was flagged in big time as well, you know? Let's put a shopping montage in.
All right, how can we improve films with montages? No, that is not our topic today. We have plenty of them coming up. We're going to rope you into it, Tony. Forced to wear things as a kid, did you fit into that category?
Forced to wear a
sailor suit?
My mum dressed me up whenever a dress-up party came around, even at the age of 21, she had me a gypsy outfit.
Oh, well, think about what you were forced to wear. Don't call yet, that'll be later. Just a bit of harmless sizzle. Here, get this. Here, get this on Triple M, Tony Wilson, the author of Harry Pipants. Book of the Year is with us.
Can I talk sport for a second?
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Sure.
Because one of the best days I've had this year, Tony, was at a community radio charity event.
Well, Triple R and PBF play an event called the Community Cup against the Rock Dogs.
Now, this is in Melbourne. In Melbourne, right. Okay.
At, down at the Junction Oval, which is Melbourne Football Club's home training base. And they get 20,000 people
there. 21,000 people there.
Right. So you've got the Ford line of community radio.
Yep.
And then the Rock Dogs. Is that Triple M? Is that us?
No. From the Esplanade Hotel,
legendary hotel in St Kilda in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And there was Tex Perkins was playing.
Cram from Spider-Mate was in their lineup.
Yeah.
I saw Tim Rogers kick an amazing goal from the pocket.
Got voted best on ground. Won the Connolly Medal.
Yeah.
Tim Rogers.
Yeah. And you, Tony Wilson, you cut an amazing figure on the field because you're a big unit. But you went down pretty early on.
Yeah, I hit a hamstring in the first 10 minutes.
Oh, fantastic.
Which brought our game, because I'd actually played for 10
minutes. Yeah, proper football.
And I'm meant to be the experienced sort of leader out there that ended up leaving it to 45-year-old back soon when we talk on radio.
And how did this bloke go?
No, I didn't get to play, Tony, because I'm on your commercial radio, not your community radio.
Oh, okay.
It definitely would be a tough sell. He's the KFC guy, and he's on Triple M.
Well, we don't mind.
Thank God you're here, community TV show.
It's on tonight, is it not?
It's on tonight.
Thank God you're here.
Ross Noble's on tonight.
Ross Noble.
Kelly's on tonight.
You've got Frank Woodley.
Frank Woodley.
And who else is in there?
Julia Zemiro.
Julia Zemiro.
The thing I wanted to bring up, Tony, was I saw you standing on the sidelines after 10 minutes, obviously, pretending to be hurt, with a few beers in your hand. And there was a great goal kick, but people hang around the goal line. The people literally stand there, you know, cheering. And this guy kicked a ball, and the ball hit this kid in the face so hard. You've never seen anything like it. But the best thing about the day, because it's a community event, probably 30 or 40 people, grown-ups, pointed and laughed at it.
And some people would have had the videos running and are in now in the running for $10,000
for a free gentleman. Tony, we're big enough here at Get This to admit that we don't mind stealing the odd good idea from community radio. In addition, one we haven't had the guts to steal from you yet, but it's a beauty. Do you play on your station excerpts from Burt Reynolds' autobiography talking book version?
My Life, released in 1994, when Burt was almost at his nadir. He was in all sorts of trouble.
So this is pre-Boogie Nights.
It's pre-Boogie Nights. His career is pretty much, he thinks it might not be going that well. Evening Shade's gone all right for him. But put it this way, he's having to bring up Cop and a Half. A few projects that didn't go quite as well. But he's the most magnificently self-congratulatory man. You're right.
I love a talking book recommendation for a long drive. Obviously, to get this Bacon Phil podcast is the number one recommendation, but obviously you've got your Robert Evans autobiography. That's one of the funniest voices to hear in your car. What does Burt Reynolds bring to the table?
Well, one thing he does do is when he plays himself, he puts on another voice, so he's reading his own autobiography. At one point, for example, he's in a car accident when he was 19. He said, I was in the best physical shape of my career. So he's there. He's in a car accident, a very serious one.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he starts yelling from the shell of a wrecked car, don't tell my dad! Don't tell my dad! And it's not his voice that he's been reading the autobiography in.
So he can't play
himself. He's cast himself as a hick in his own autobiography.
And all lines in it are as though written in a B-grade movie script. So that's the lines of his life. So I really heartily recommend My Life by Burt Reynolds.
Fantastic. Yeah, I'm just trying to remember what I first saw. When I was a kid, Burt Reynolds was on the TV in a show called Dan August.
Is it a Western?
No, it was a detective show. But it was one of those shows where... I think it was a Quinn Martin production where the voiceover would read out the credits for you. Dan August, starring Burt Reynolds. A Quinn Martin production. The guy just read out all the credits.
Good job.
Great look.
Best way to know who the best boy is from the other room.
Yeah. Key grip. I always love any credits for a show where it has and such as such and such. Like we need to know the character name. Do you remember The Feds?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those Australian telly movies. And it'd be Angie Milliken, you know, someone else, Peter Mockery. Then it'd go with John Bache. It's Rainier Bass.
Oh, that's who was Rainier Bass.
And you go, oh, thank God, John Bache playing Rainier Bass. Wouldn't be watching otherwise.
The episode of My Life that I'd love to send to you, Tony, is I heard on one of the podcasts that the only video your school had was a Burt Reynolds flick, so whatever the
whole thing. Well, this is so long ago, in fact, it was a 35mm print. Whenever the sports was cancelled or rained out, we would have to trace into the assembly hall and watch The End, directed by and starring Burt Reynolds with Dom DeLuise, comedy about suicide.
You know how he finishes his piece on that? He said, when I watched that video, I watched that movie and I thought, yeah, I'd work for that director again.
And he did. On Sharky's Machine. We don't have time to get through the full Burt Reynolds story. We've got to talk about things you were forced to wear as a youngster. Let's do that next.
The country.
Yeah, this is the program Around the Nation on Triple M. Tony Wilson, author of Harry High Pants. For the younger reader, although not necessarily, you know.
No.
Older readers can get into it, can't they?
It has a fascist theme in it. And I went into a school and read Harry High Pants and said, now, one of the underlying themes here is fascism, that you shouldn't be able to be told at what height you want to wear your pants. And then I realised I was in a place where teachers rely on the autocratic hand from above. So I said, of course, if a teacher tells you to do something, of course you should do it.
Right, get those pants up. Okay, what we're talking about, things that kids wear, that's sort of our topic today, isn't it? Or Richard, it's one of yours.
Well, we came out with it together.
In
the hot tub.
Good on you.
And then realised that we both had stories, because mine and nephews have just, they did a dance concert last year.
How old are they?
They're 6 and 4.
You're old enough to remember that.
They're 5 and 7. And because my sister's a dance teacher and she has her own dance school, and so but they had to dress up. They were in pretty much every single show.
Mm.
So I've got a list here of some of the things that they dressed up as.
Yes.
The Candyman. Oh, and I don't know. You know,
Stephen King movie?
No,
it wasn't Stephen King, but it was a horror movie. You know,
right, so
Candyman into a mirror 5 times.
He's here.
Sammy Davis Jr. Is reanimated from the grave, I think.
True.
I remember the plot of that film.
Just little kids in, like, you know, candy stripes and what have you. Woody from Toy Story.
Oi.
Little birds dressed in feathers and wings for Rock and Robin.
Oh,
wow. That's true. And the list goes on and on, but all I can think of is the 21st speech.
because call their godfather, and it's just going to be a slideshow.
Oh,
well, that's going to be Exhibit 25.
Well, you bring that up, Richard. If you look at the photo album that my mum compiled, for book week each year, there's like a montage of me and my brother crying. There's the source for name, with tears streaming down our face. There's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer with tears streaming down the face. And it went right on into adulthood. I mentioned that she dressed me as a gypsy for a friend's 21st. I was a bit too piratey, I thought. But there was also, maybe the pièce de résistance was on lock-up day in year 12. She helped with my polar bear costume.
Oh,
she turned a lambskin into the chest hair, put me in overalls, and actually went and bought a real live 12-pound cod and put it on a string on a stick.
Fantastic.
Got sent home by the school.
Really?
And in fact, was the second person in 2 years to be sent home by the school. I was sent home because of the smell of the cod. The guy the year before was sent home for dressing up as Rambo and bringing in live ammo.
Well,
what a legend.
I think we've all got so the photo album still exists.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yes.
I'm thinking all the shots for your books. I mean, one on a different one every book you do. Well, I've got some. I'm hoping the photo albums have been incinerated at my place. Because till I was 7, I was brought up by my mother and my grandmother, who hated each other and lived in a house like split down the middle.
Nice.
Wouldn't talk to each other. And there was sort of a competition to see who could dress me up more. So my mum would go, right, so she's dressing him up as a sailor suit. Right here. Little Lord Fauntleroy time. And so she sent to school. Apparently I went to school in the 17th century. Pantaloons, stockings, an enormous buckled shoe.
All the time for your chimney sweeping.
In the photos, of course, you have to turn them round the other way because in every shot I'm being dunked into a toilet. But, you know, that was, I guess, the late 60s. So we're going way back there.
Wow.
Early 70s, rather. Ed Cavalli.
Yeah, well, obviously my sister and I got around in sailor suits for a long time.
Sailor suits.
I refused to wear the little hat with the bow hanging off the side, which meant that if I didn't wear it, I'd have to wear the sailor suit the next day, and then the next day, until I could agree to wear the hat, and then I could go back to my regular programming. But I grew up just with my older, I have many brothers and sisters, but I met them throughout the years. I've been scattered throughout my life. But my sister I grew up with, which means she was the only one I had any hand-me-downs to get stuff from, Tony.
Sure.
I don't know how many Care Bear shirts you had when you were a kid, man. But I had my fair share of tattered rainbow numbers.
How you were so across the Care Bear lore on this show.
News.
Did you have, was it on this show that you broke the story about, was it Catherine Zeta-Jones or one of the major celebrities put her son in a bikini?
Yes. Oh, no, it's Elizabeth Hurley.
Elizabeth Hurley
was modelling her new range of women's underwear or bikinis by getting her son to wear them on the website. That wouldn't get back to him at school. What is
Okie doke.
All right, I think we've
The therapist has got to come in.
So let's get to some callers. I'm sure the listeners can top even these sailor suit stories. Call us up. Tell us what you were forced to wear as a kid. 1-3-3-5-3. And Tom Petty here at Triple M. Tony Martin, Ed Cavalli, Richard Marsland, co-hosting for this hour, Tony Wilson. Everyone in this room has been traumatised by clothing they were forced to wear as a youngster. Who else is hurting out there, Ed?
G'day, Rick.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, bro. Tell us, what happened?
I think I should have used a fake name, but my brother and I, he's 2 years younger than I am, we were forced to wear light blue safari suits.
Yeah.
Mid-70s.
And where were you forced to go in these, Rick?
To Nan's place or just out variously.
How so your mum could show you off, right?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe just show how silly she can dress us.
Was she just a really big Gareth Evans fan?
That's shocking.
And, you know, have you still got them? I mean, wouldn't it be a great look now at a family reunion? You and the brother were to show up in the safari suits.
Tony, no.
No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
They were buried. Thank you, Rick. G'day, Lynn. How are you going?
Well, thank you.
What were you forced to wear?
I grew up in the era of the fancy dress costume party, and we had this brilliant big dice costume, which was a box painted white with the numbers, and the only holes were for your head and legs. I never got the treat and never got the
take home lolly bag because I couldn't carry it anyway.
Yeah, well. Did you ever show up at a party and someone else had come wearing a giant dice costume as well? How embarrassing.
No, never, never.
And the two of you could just throw yourself down a corridor.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, no one else was inventive as my big sister.
Yeah, Mum, what should I go as today? I'll tell you what, Mum, let's roll the dice.
Well, can we go better than a giant dice costume? Thank you, Len.
Hi, Deborah, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you guys?
We're good. What were you forced to dress in?
Well, my mother, I think, watched a bit too much Partridge Family, and she dressed the whole family in the same themed outfit. It was days of hot pants, the early 70s, and white skivvies were very versatile. They went with everything. So white skivvy, purple hot pants, and not my dad, of course.
Yeah, well, that was the picture I was getting.
I'm thinking Von Trapps myself. What number were you in, if you had to match yourself up to the Von Trapps?
Yeah, but I was the eldest girl.
The sweater. White skivvy. Purple hot pants.
And white boots.
Well, I don't know. We've got to get a photo for the website of everyone on this show in that gear.
All right, so I've got skivvies and I've got white boots. Now, I need something to tie it together.
That is a beautiful mental picture. Thank you very much, Deborah.
Hi, Cameron.
How are you, lad?
Oh, how are you going, sir?
Yeah, not too bad.
All right, what were you forced to dress in?
Back in, when I was in grade 6, we had a worst dressed male competition.
Yeah.
And my sister dressed me up as a prostitute, didn't she?
Oh.
What
were you getting about him, Cameron?
I had six inch stilettos, fishnet stockings, a little tiny mini skirt.
It's a high class then. Oh, sort of wall slapper.
Definitely. Nothing from St Kilda, no.
And what exactly are your workmates yelling out behind you there?
Nothing we can say on radio.
Good on him, mate. Good on him. Thank you, Cameron. Best of luck turning tricks. Hello, Scott. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you going?
Oh, excellent. What were you forced to wear?
I'm just getting over it now, after about 20 years, but my mum made me go to school in fifth class in her red corduroy boat shoes.
Oh.
To make it worse, she used to dress me in those little brown sandals, and I used to hate it, so I used to purposely break them. And after about six pairs, she said, "Well, I'll fix you." And she sent me to school in her red corduroy boat shoes.
Were you the hit of the playground, Scott?
And I never walked again.
It's probably a good word.
Yeah.
Well, wearing your mum's shoes to school. I think we have time for one more. Abomination, who's in it?
Okay, hi, Tony, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Yourself?
Well, I'm Scott. What were you forced to wear, bro?
Me and my brother and my sister were skivvies. Skivvies. Like the early Wiggles.
What colour skivvy were you sporting?
I was supporting the purple one.
The purple. Well, could be worse. Could be taupe, could be mustard, could be okra. Those are the only colours we had.
Really?
Every single variation of baby shit, we had skivvies in all of those colours.
Could be Candone, Sydney Harbour print. That's what you really want to avoid in the skivvy department. Thank you, everyone.
Let's see, we're celebrating the Spring Fashion Week in fine style here at Triple M. Now, next up, I think we've got a bit of water cooler talk.
Oh.
Or we may check in with a nearly forgotten celebrity. That'll be next to get this. That'll be the John Butler Trio here at Get This on Triple M, where writer and broadcaster Tony Wilson is with us. His novel, Players, is still in the shop. That's an old read. Almost considered a classic these days.
Thank you, Tony.
But what about a follow-up? How's that coming along?
Chapter 2 have been written now, and that means I'm up to 6,500 words, and they're dripping out like a chapter that hasn't been fixed.
Wow. There's so many books that you're working on, and I think the favourite book you've told us about when you came in here one time was when you had a radio ratings book.
Oh, yeah, I got one of those.
Wow.
Not a bad procrastinatory tool if you can pick one up. Yeah. Basically, you have have to follow your week in radio, both fictional and non-fictional, and fill it out as you go along.
Here's something else that I'm not sure that radio stations do it anymore, but certainly record companies and market research companies will call you up at home and just play you 7 seconds of a song. You ever had that happen?
No.
Okay, this is a new album we're putting out. What do you think of this? And I'll play 7 seconds. And you've got to rate it from 1 to 5. Nikki Hamilton, our producer, used to do that. Before she became a knocked up off mic radio presenter. It's her other job.
Isn't it likely that you're going to the survey will be skewed in favour of lonely people? So only lonely people will take the call, which happens with all telemarketing. And then you've got lonely people. Can we trust lonely people's music taste?
There's also that thing where they play you 30 bits, and for about the first 7 or 8 you're into it, and by 25 you just hate all of the selections.
Yeah.
16 Sputnik, no! We were suggesting that this job of sitting in a booth and playing excerpts from albums to people could be yet another possible job for Bob Geldof, because we're always trying to find work for Bob.
Work.
He does need
He's
work.
Doing it these days.
And then it's sitting on a plane. How would that go, Rich?
Hello, this is Bob Geldof calling from Bob Geldof from the TV commercial. The driver on Pub's gentleman sitting on the airplane. You've surely seen that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, don't worry about the market. I just wanted to do a few market research questions.
What is this about?
Just a few cracks of he that returned to his lady this year and what gets your opinion on the sound.
We're
not saying the entire track. Some of you feel you just in a tiny snippet and just your third
round. All right, how do I do it?
So just, there we go. This is the excerpt number 1. You ready? Yes, it's an album of madcap sound effects, and obviously we want to test them before we come out on this point.
Wait, you
want
to play it again,
mate? You want to have... No, listen, we've got a selection B. Have a listen to this one. Would you describe that track as sufficiently zany? Listen, I'm not going to be stymied by your refusal of comment.
I don't know what you want.
This is this that I can see.
Happened in over a year. This is finishing on time! Your fine read for the younger reader and possibly the older reader who has trouble with longer words. Is that out now?
It is illustrated by Tom Jellis, written by me in about 48 minutes. One Wednesday.
Oh, come on!
I'm not doing the mental box thing. She says that she labours over each word every day. Just one word, and today I'm going to do
it. Can you read it early? Over there, Mr. Cavalier, great. Give us some sizzle for